believers and the judgment of unbelievers are quite different. Unbelievers who die without Christ, as we have mentioned, are judged for their sins. They will experience spiritual death, eternal spiritual death, which we have mentioned, that is called the second death in the Bible. But the saints who die in Christ, as we have mentioned this morning, how the Lord will come soon to receive His church to glory, and the dead in Christ, we saw how we would be changed. We would be given a new body, no more sin, no more pain, no more aging, but a body that is like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only will He give to us a brand new body, no longer we would be plagued with the infirmities of this earthen vessel, but He will also come to bring His reward to His servants for their service that were rendered to Him during their time upon earth. And this judgment, this reward that God will give in Christ Jesus would be done at the Bema seat, or Bema, or judgment seat of Christ, which we have read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. In the New Testament times, the Bema is a judgment of reward that is given for athletes in a race. The winner of the race would receive a crown, a wreath, or he would be crowned with a wreath at the Bema. And this is a picture that is familiar to the people who lived in Jesus' times, that they, like the Christian, would one day stand before God, before Christ, at the judgment seat to receive the things that has been done in the body according to that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Those who have served the Lord with pure motives, those who serve the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind and strength, will receive a faithful man's reward for your honest labor. Those who serve the Lord with impure motives will receive no reward. And so in heaven, you would see that there is a time coming when the Lord returns at the rapture, that the Lord would give to His servants rewards according to how we have served Him in this short time that we have upon earth. And so, if you think and put in perspective the life that we have, the 70, the 80 years, by reason of strength, you'll find that compared with eternity, this is a very short time. This is a very short sojourn. But you would also find that the Bible teaches us that whatever you do in this short sojourn upon earth would have an eternal impact upon what you would receive in eternity. And this parable that we have read from Luke chapter 16 will help us to understand and see the perspective of gaining true riches when we would meet our Lord in heaven. You know, this reward, as we learned while we were in Bible school, is like a graduation ceremony. Those who are not rewarded will regret, you know, that they have not served the Lord as well. But they too receive their certificate, perhaps without merits, without higher honor, but everyone received their reward. At the Bema seat, there is no sorrowing. We will all be found there to stand before God. Not because we are any good in ourselves, but because the Lord, the Father, sent the Son to come to die for unworthy sinners such as us, so that we, being unjust, may be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so the Lord wants us to understand in perspective what He has done for us, beginning at redemption, as we saw last night, how the Lord has, by His grace, intervened in our lives, and how we have been so gloriously saved. Some of us less than a year, some of us for many years now, serving the Lord faithfully in His vineyard. And we realize and we understand that we are on that journey of faith, and that there is a time of consummation. Right? We said that the times that we are living in, there are many signs that indicates to us of the Lord's coming again. And we have shared with you the many signs of His coming. And I'd like to add that there is one more sign that is given, the sign of Sodom, that is now also before our very eyes. The rapid legalization of gay marriage, men with men, women with women, that is taking place in so many nations in Europe and America. And this is the critical sign, as it were, because it was the reason why God judged Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. Nothing was left when fire and brimstone fell from heaven to burn away this city of unrighteousness. Their iniquity reaches up to heaven, and God saw that it was time to judge. And then you remember there was this man called Lot, the nephew of Abraham. How he coveted after the things of the world, and how he suffered great loss. He barely escaped out of Sodom and Gomorrah because he loved the things of this world, and he got himself entangled there in Sodom. And it was only by the mercy and grace of God that he could have escaped, because the Lord understood this man Lot is His child, that Lot belongs to Him. And so he was that righteous man who was in Sodom, whom the Lord would save by the skin of His teeth. Right? His wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of stone. Very scary judgment. Well, it is a picture describing to us about how we live our lives. There is a graduation ceremony coming when our Lord would return. And the Lord would give to us His reward, you know, as we learn from our late principal. in the Bible college. The only way to be enrolled in the university of life, well, is to know Jesus Christ, who is the principal. And there is no academic prerequisites. The only qualification is your confession. If you will humble yourself and confess your sins before our Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as Lord and Savior, you will be received as a student and eventually graduate from this university. No one dies in the university of life where Christ is the principal. But if you were to spend time to climb the ladder of success in this world, you will find out to your great sorrow that you are actually building your barns, you are actually leaning against the wrong wall in your building of life's purposes. In this parable, the Lord wants us to understand that if we get rich, we think that, you know, we have true riches, but really, at the end of the day, we realize that we are poor sinners, then it is not worth that journey. In Luke chapter 16, it's given to us this parable of the unjust stewards to describe to us, to teach us how we are to view true riches God's way. And, you know, as you read this parable, Jesus is not praising man's crookedness, but rather his shrewdness in using his present opportunity to provide for his inevitable future needs. He knew that his master is going to put him out of the house and that he will be in trouble. And so he uses the authority that was vested in him to make friends with all the creditors of the master, giving them special discounts for what they owe the master, so that at the time when he's put out of the stewardship, he's able to go back and receive help from this. Jesus calls the man unrighteous. Well, in a sense, he was condemning his wrong ways, but he's saying that we can learn a lesson, a valuable lesson, from this man of the world, who is, our text tells us, wiser than many sons of light. You know, when we become a Christian, God gives to us a new perspective concerning our life. We are going to heaven, and we are on that journey there. And God entrusts to us resources in which He would want us to invest well for eternity. These resources that He gives to us, He wants us to realize that it is God who owns these resources, and He has entrusted all this to us to manage it. And so Jesus wants us to understand and see that this life that we have, after we have been purchased by God, we have been given much, and all that we have truly does belong to Him. He wants us to understand this concept, this perspective of stewardship that this parable is to teach us. One of the key ideas concerning the steward is that the steward does not own what the master or owner has entrusted to him. He merely manages it, whatever resources that the master gives to him, for the owner's purposes. And so if the steward begins to act as if he owns it, spending the owner's resources for his personal gain rather than the owner's benefit, he is called unrighteous. He is not a faithful steward. And this concept of stewardship that is described in this parable is a very basic concept for Christian living that the Lord wants us to learn, so that we may be able to understand how we are to live this life in the light of the eternal future, in the light of the coming judgment that will come upon us. This principle of stewardship is a fundamental concept of Christian living. When we keep it in focus, it will radically affect how we live. The Apostle Paul says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." 1 Corinthians 4:2. To be faithful as a steward, you must keep in mind at all times that you do not own your money. It is God who owns your money. You do not own your car. It is God that owns your car. You do not own your life. It is God who owns it. And if we were to forget and to ignore God's purposes and to live as if we have what we have is ours to use for our purpose, then we have abused our stewardship by being unfaithful. Lot was like that. He was finding gain for himself upon this earth. He was trying to get gain when he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And soon you find that he began to move to live in Sodom, because there is much profit to be gained there, albeit in the kind of debaucherous relationship, terrible morality that is going on in that city. Lot would not mind as long as he can get his gain. Whereas his uncle Abraham was different. He understood the true riches. He was not looking for the riches that was in this world. You remember in the book of Hebrews, the Lord, the Apostle Paul described how the Lord tells us that Abraham was serving, looking for a city where the builder and the maker is God. He was not building for this life. That is why he obeyed the Lord to uproot himself when God called him from the modern Iraq, the modern city of Ur, you know, the luxurious city, ancient city of Ur. He was willing to uproot himself and came to this land, this strange land that God had promised him, to serve the Lord, living in tents, willing to suffer. And you know, we were studying the life of Abraham for number of weeks, and we could see, you know, at the end of his life, there was one accomplishment that he did. It was at his very, very old age to bring forth a son, Isaac, whom God would use to bring forth the Messiah. And he took all these years, you know, to follow the Lord. And you can imagine the daily grind of dwelling in the promised land, amidst the semi-nomadic desert area that he lives in, right, in a strange land, away from all his relatives, because God has called him to serve him. And he did so. He paid the price. Whereas Lot, he was looking for a perspective that was quite different from what God had intended for them. He saw the lush plains of Jordan, and he lusts for them. He wants it for himself. Right? So that is a difference in terms of mindset that the Lord wants us to understand. Right? This first thought from the parable is that the resources that God entrusted to us is not ours. In this world that we lived in, God is preparing us princes of God to become kings. And as princes, you know, you have no true authority. But God gives to us a stewardship, and we are to use this stewardship so that when the time comes, we may be found faithful, that we may inherit the kingdom that God has for us. And so the Lord wants us to understand this concept of true riches. What is the true riches? The true riches is the kingdom that God will give to us, that Christ will give to us at His coming. We would possess that kingdom, and this is what would belong to us. We would buy it at that time when Christ comes. Right? The resources that we have now is not ours. We are just managing it as stewards for God. But if we are found faithful in our stewardship for the Lord, then when the time comes, the Lord will give to us the true riches. That's why Jesus said in Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is stewardship now, and then in eternity, it's ownership. If we are not faithful to what God has assigned to us, then we will not be faithful to what God will give to us. Verse 11, it gives us the intricacy of this parable. "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" God gives to us all these resources. We call it the unrighteous mammon, right? All these resources that God put in our hands. He wants us to use it for His purpose, for His glory, for His honor, so that it may multiply riches in heaven for us. Verse 12 says, "But if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" What is this another man's that the Lord is speaking about? Well, He's telling us the resources that He has given to us in this life, our life, and our all. If we are faithful to these things, then He tells us He would give to us that which we truly own. That is the kingdom that we will possess at His coming. The Lord is, in this parable, encouraging us to have a much nobler
attitude towards life, towards service. You know, we are naturally faithful to our own things. We will take care of our own things first before we take care of the things of others. Right? But the Lord is saying to us that if you have understood this concept of stewardship that I have given to you, entrusted to you in this life, then I would give to you the true riches. If you are faithful in other men's things, it is not a natural attitude, but it is a nobler attitude. To be faithful in the things that doesn't belong to you, you are faithful to that stewardship. Then the Lord says that you are worthy to manage those things that would be your own. But if you're not faithful in managing that which is entrusted to you, then you will not be faithful in managing your own. And why should you be entrusted these true riches? And so the Lord wants us to understand that, you know, these resources that God gives to us in this life, it pales to the resources that we would have in heaven. You know, God doesn't need our gold in heaven, because the streets of heaven is paved in gold. Our gold is useless in heaven. But God wants us to use the resources that we have now to build firm foundations for our future when our Lord would return at the Bema to give to us the true riches. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth is natural. But God is calling us to a nobler standard, a great high calling, to be faithful in other things which does not belong to us. And one of the tests is our faithfulness in the resources that God has entrusted to us in this life. Whatever that we have in this world is incomparable to the eternal riches that God is going to give to us. And so if we have not a good perspective, then we would want to hoard our resources. We don't want to use our resources. We would not be good stewards of our resources. But if we would be good stewards of our resources, then, you know, we would think carefully how we are going to invest this for true eternal riches. Verse 12 says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? If you are not faithful in that of another man's, this world's riches that God gives to you in this life, all the riches, all the talents that we have in this world, will God give to you your own eternal inheritance? You would not be more faithful. And so there is a logic to this parable that the Lord wants us to understand, so that we may understand the perspective of the eternal reward that God will give to us at His coming. So we said that at the Lord's coming, at the rapture, the Lord will not only give to us a glorious body, but the Lord will give to us the true riches, a kingdom to inherit. You know, we are heirs of the kingdom. An heir like a prince, right? You don't receive the kingdom. But the time comes when the Lord returns, and, you know, the Bible tells us that we would reign with Him. And that's why also in this life, the Lord gives to us trials, temptations, in order to purify us, to give to us a nobler character, to give to us, to bring forth the attributes of Himself, the image of God in us through Christ, so that by the time God would give to us our true inheritance, when we would rule for eternity, you know, you cannot imagine. We think this hotel is nice, beautiful. God gives, you know, allow us to come. But in eternity, when God is going to recreate the universe, you know, you will not imagine how vast that new universe is, that new world the Lord would create, the new heavens and the new earth, and what He is going to give to us. And each one of us would have our fair share of an eternal inheritance that the Lord would give to us. Verse 9. But I say unto you, make yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they will receive you into everlasting habitations. The mammon of unrighteousness. The Lord use this term, right, to refer to this earth's resources that we can use to store up treasures in heaven. If you give to the poor, you are loaning to the Lord. They cannot repay you, but the Lord tells us that He will repay us. And the Lord tells us also from this parable that we must be working harder than the children of the world. We are the children of light. And if this children of the world is able to be so wise in its stewardship, then we as the children of light must be wise too. There is no monetary system in Singapore, in heaven. In heaven, we are going to have all the gold. It will be used to lay the streets. So what is the use of the resources that we have? We have to be wise, so that these resources will be received into everlasting habitation. The Lord tells us that we labor so that we may be accepted of Him. And He tells us that He will rate our labor, whether it be good or bad. And He tells us that the labor that is unworthy of the Lord would be burned away. It would be wood, hay, and stubble. When the time comes, the Lord will judge our works, our life. And the Lord wants us to build and store true riches. The riches of this world, you'll find, has great use for the kingdom of God. And the Lord wants us to understand and gain a good perspective, and to be good stewards for Him. Redemption, recurrence, rapture, reward. This is the high point in the Christian's life. Tomorrow, we'll begin to see how judgment would fall upon planet Earth when our Lord would finally return, when the church, after the church is taken up to heaven, severe judgment is going to come upon this world. And those who do not know Christ would face a grave judgment. And the Lord wants us to realize this. that ultimately it is the souls that truly matters. And he wants us to be a part of this redemption plan that he has inaugurated since the foundation of the world.
Amen.